Foreign policy. Let's move on to foreign policy now.
Yes.
This is a big one. Because it's a, you know, I don't want to get blown up.
I was thinking about that earlier today, and I have to agree with you.
Yeah.
I don't feel like getting blown up.
I think if we were to take a Rasmussen poll of all the people, would you like to get blown up? I would imagine that it would be about 99%. I think the 1% would be the people who didn't. Texas Tech just scored a touchdown.
Did they really?
Yeah. I think
you know who would make, you know who would say he would want to be blown up?
Who?
Is that, what's his name? From Celine?
Oh, Ryan Grossman from Celine.
Ryan Grossman, yeah.
From our high school. We got out at the right time, by the way.
You did. I don't have time. I sat two seats to the left of that kid.
You would have been a goner.
By the way, just for our listeners, he was making homemade bombs and had a hit list.
Yeah, at our old high school.
It was good fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got out of there just in time.
Yeah, you would have been a goner. Anyways, we'll start off with Iraq, because that's the big foreign policy central point in the election. His plan is to pull all troops out within 16 months,
mm-hmm.
which obviously we know, and you know we can discuss the ramifications of that, which
right.
you and I believe is genocide and Al-Qaeda takeover. Mm-hmm. Not pretty right. things.
No, not really.
You know,
interestingly enough,
we don't care apparently about finishing off what we started. He just mm-hmm. cares about pulling in the political promise.
Right.
Now, it's debatable. A lot of people think that when he gets into office, he ultimately won't pull troops
right.
out immediately because mm-hmm. of the sheer fact that it would be a huge, huge blunder if
mm-hmm.
he pulled them out, Al-Qaeda took over, or genocide struck up over there, and he had to put troops back in.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a huge political blunder.
I don't think that'll happen. I think he's convinced himself in whatever is going up. Or whatever is going on up there in his head, that this war to him has failed.
Yeah.
And
totally.
I think he is perfectly ready to disregard a promise this country and the rest of the United Nations made after World War II, and that was that they will never allow a genocide to happen again. And it's not debatable. What was happening in Iraq was a genocide.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I mean, how many mass graves have we found filled with elderly women, children, men, all of it? All right. We Saddam got the chemical weapons and he dropped them on the Kurds. It was a genocide, and I think it would be disgraceful if we turned our back on that promise.
Yeah.
That humanitarian promise, because it's expensive.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
World War II was expensive. Doesn't mean we shouldn't have participated.
Yeah. Anyways, so here's a clip. I just want to go over real quick on the surge. The surge has worked. We all agree the surge has worked, except mm-hmm. for Barack Obama. He is still
right.
reluctant. This is what he said when the surge was announced back in January of 2007.
The president's strategy will not work.
President's strategy will not work.
Right.
Clearly he was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously he was just completely off. So let's look at the options here. You got Barack Obama, who wants to be the commander in chief, who was
right.
completely dead wrong
mm-hmm.
on the surge. What in terms of the war in general, it's arguable if he was right or wrong, because we really don't know exactly. You know, he always said that it would be this blunder and this blah 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 blah. Well, we really don't know what he said because he was a state senator and no one really gives a rip about what he thought back then.
Right.
And then you got John McCain, who in November of 2003 said we needed a surge.
Right.
He was clearly
he called
right.
that years before.
Yeah, he was clearly right.
Mm-hmm.
Barack Obama has also said there are no options in Iraq besides bad and worse. Here's that.
Look, if we had followed my judgment originally, we wouldn't have been in Iraq. We're here now, and we've got no good options. We've got bad options and worse options.
Is helping the Iraqi people and rebuilding that country really a bad option?
No, it's not a bad option.
I don't
look,
see that as a
look,
bad option.
This country has done it before and faced adversity. All right, after World War II, the United States of America played a key role in the United Nations effort to form the country of Israel. That didn't, that wasn't all cake and icing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that led to war.
Yeah.
All right, and we stood there and we helped and we supplied and we supported Israel, and today they are one of the strongest democratic countries on earth.
Yep.
So don't tell me it can't be done, because it can.
Here's another sound
clip. Sure, it takes time, but most things that are good do.
Here's another sound clip. He talks about, let's get back to the Iraq one here. We'll go for. Hold on, here we go. Maybe this one doesn't work, and that's why it wasn't playing. Yep, yeah,
maybe.
That's right, it doesn't work. Okay, never mind. I won't play that one then.
Good. All right.
So Iraq, we know in Iraq, his plan is basically to pull troops out within 16 months. I think that the majority of people, the numbers on people who want a complete withdrawal of Iraq have dipped. They've dipped because they see that the surge has worked and that we just need to finish the job in there and then leave. And that ensures us not having to go back.
Right.
So let's talk about Afghanistan now.
Mm-hmm.
Afghanistan, he has said that all we're doing in Afghanistan is air raiding villages and killing civilians. Let me play that sound clip for you.
You've got to get the job done there. And that requires us to have enough troops that we're not just air raiding villages and killing civilians, which is causing enormous problems there.
Yep, all we're doing is just air raiding villages and killing civilians. It's just a big old game over there.
Yeah, that's a really rude statement.
His, go ahead.
I think it was two episodes ago when we were talking about the document I wrote, the Obama era.
Yes.
One which I wrote in there about Afghanistan, that I think that when he becomes president, I think he'll take troops out of Iraq, but I think he will implement a plan almost identical to the surge that we used in Iraq, only he'll apply it to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Because he's talked recently about how we need more troops in Afghanistan.
Yes.
And I think that if he becomes president, you will see another surge. The surge.
In Afghanistan, though.
In Afghanistan,
yeah.
Yes.
No, you're right. That's what his plan is. His plan is for a troop surge in Afghanistan. The same thing that he said would fail in Iraq. You know, you're going to have a situation where you're going to take troops out of Iraq, put them into Afghanistan, all hell will break loose in Iraq. And what's probably going to happen?
Yeah.
I mean, here's what's going to happen. Let me tell you right now what's going to happen. The people that were going to Afghanistan to fight, the people who are in the mountains in the Pakistan-Afghan border.
The Hindu Kush Mountains.
The Hindu Kush Mountains, yep. Those main people of Al-Qaeda, they're going to go to Iraq. They're going to run away.
Absolutely.
That's what happened originally. Mm-hmm. Is when we went into Afghanistan, we took over the Taliban government. We got rid of that. Put up the new government, and then the Al Qaeda fighters ran away.
Yep.
They got the heck out of there. They're not bound by country lines. That's what Obama doesn't seem to understand. They can move all around.
Yeah, they have legs.
They have legs. They have equipment to move. They're not bound to one area.
Right. I mean, this is not like medieval warfare where they just stay in a castle. They're going to move.
Exactly.
The strategy has developed over the last 2,000 years,
yes.
Barack.
So,
how he doesn't understand that, especially being a senator, I just don't understand.
And then let's move on to Pakistan now, because we got some fun stuff with Pakistan.
Excuse me, sweetheart. What's the name of that old
dance? Whoa. Excuse me on that one. I don't know what the heck that even was.
I don't either.
Those Grandmaster Slice... Electric slide.
Oh, very nice.
Oh, man.
Kind of a random...
Get my groove on. I don't know why that was... A gift for our listeners. Sorry about that. that was so bizarre.
It was bizarre.
Anyways, here's what he said about Pakistan. He has said that the U.S. should be willing to strike Al-Qaeda targets in Pakistan with or without the approval from the Pakistani government. Quote, if we have actionable intelligence about high-value terrorist targets and President Musharraf won't act, we will. Pakistan officials have called the comment irresponsible. Quote, it's a very irresponsible statement. That's all I can say. Pakistan's foreign minister, Khushid Kasuri, told ABC.
Khushid Kasuri,
Yeah. He says, as the election campaign in America is heating up, we would not like American candidates to fight their elections and contest elections at our expense. Obama has accused Pakistan. So he says that we'll go into I don't think Obama understands that Pakistan's an ally.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has accused Pakistan of using the aid that we provide to them to prepare for war with India. Quote, we are providing them military aid without having enough strings attached, so they're using the military aid that we use to Pakistan. They're preparing for war against India. And he's talked about bombing areas in their country without their explicit consent.
Right.
Which
let me just to let you know, let it be put on the record for our listeners who don't know. Pakistan and India hate each other. They absolutely despise one another.
This is very true.
So I think it creates a lot of unnecessary hostility, and I think it shows the naivety of Barack Obama in making a statement like Pakistan is getting ready for war with India. I think it's a very naive statement that I'm surprised it didn't lead to more, you know, media attention than it did. Because could you imagine what would have happened had India really taken offense to that?
Yeah.
I mean, how much of our economy relies on materials produced in India?
Yep.
I mean, anything. I'm just, you know, saying anything could happen. India could get pissed off and, you know, stop trade, you know, do something. That was a stupid statement on behalf of Barack Obama.
The other thing we have to remember is that Pakistan is a nuclear nation. They have nuclear weapons, and if we get to a point where we create so much political unrest in that country by going in and bombing, which would probably be the Waziristan area in Pakistan, on the border there, which they have gone into a compromise now, and whether that's a good thing or what?
Texas recovered a fumble. About time.
Okay.
This is where we're going to see a shift. Texas has now got some motivation. They're on their opponent's 30-yard line. We're going to get a touchdown right here. I'm calling it.
You want to bet on the touchdown?
No.
All right. You're no fun. Fine.
Did you see the statistic?
What?
In 2006, when these two teams played, at halftime, Texas was down 21-0, which is a bigger difference than it is now. And they came back and won 36-31.
When was that?
2006.
Yeah, okay. This is a different Texas Tech team. Michael Crabtree.
Also a different Texas team.
Michael Crabtree was not there for that game.
Neither was Colt McCoy.
Exactly. So those offset each other.
Right.
Okay. All right.
You just lost your argument.
Now that we've come. Well, no, I'm saying I didn't lose my argument. So they offset each other. So that advantage, that historical advantage, is gone. It's meaningless.
Okay.
It's worthless. Okay.
Yes.
We've got that settled. All right.
All right.
Anyways, I was talking about Pakistan and the Waziristan area, which has been offered into a compromise.
Right.
And so what happens then? So the people of Waziristan would get mighty pissed off. And you've got a situation where you may have this, you know, push to overturn the Pakistani government.
Mm-hmm.
You would get nuclear weapons into the wrong hands if you don't take that issue seriously. You know, I like the idea of talking tough and going out and trying to kill al-Qaeda operatives, and yeah, that's great and grand, but we've got to make sure that we don't piss somebody, you know, off who has nuclear weapons where they might want to attack us with, or get to a point where that government is overthrown so they can attack us with nuclear weapons. You know, it's a much stickier situation than I think Obama portrays it to be.
Oh, absolutely.
And here's the interesting...
Absolutely.
Here's another interesting part. You know, we had this strike on al-Qaeda in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And that's perfectly fine in my eyes because Syria is not an ally.
No,
Syria is an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
They've been funneling insurgents into Iraq over an open border for the entire war. And we should have been tougher on Syria. And Nancy Pelosi should have been going over to Syria. Like, you remember, she did that a few years ago.
Yeah, and she spoke with what's their leader's name?
Oh, I don't remember.
Real tall guy. He was a doctor.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I don't remember his name. I can see his picture right now. I don't remember.
I wanted to say it's Omar al-Bashir, but that's the guy in Darfur, or the Sudan, rather. Anyway.
Anyways.
Yeah, and she was over there, and she was, you know, holding, like, little, these peaceful little talks and whatnot.
Yeah, she had tea and coffee. They went swimming together, and they went to the local country club. And
yeah.
Anyways, so that's what happened. This happened, and we had this al-Qaeda strike in Syria. Obama has not offered up a statement about that, has been very mum about it, hasn't said a thing about it. Yet he's all for attacking al-Qaeda in Pakistan, which is an ally, against our allies' wishes. Yet he hasn't come out and said that this strike in a enemy's nation, against their wishes, obviously, is good or bad. He hasn't offered up a statement about it. I want to know where he stands on that, because it would be very interesting to see it juxtaposed to his position with Pakistan.
Yeah. I think right at the very beginning of the show, you made a very interesting point, and that is that we have only, in the last 3 months, we have seen so much of Barack Obama's economic policies that we have forgotten about all the rest of this. And I think that the question you just asked, what we've been talking about, had this been in the media, I don't think Barack Obama would have anywhere near the lead, if a lead at all.
Oh, no. I think that
these policies are scary.
One of the things that was happening when the economy went for the downturn was McCain was gaining ground. He was up in the Gallup poll for a couple days straight. He was up by 3 or 4 at the most. He was gaining ground, and I think that if the economy hadn't taken the downturn, by the way, Texas didn't score. If the economy if the economy,
yes, they did.
Well, they got a field goal, whatever. You said a touchdown. If the economy hadn't taken the downturn that it did, I think McCain would have pulled away, and this would have been a reverse situation. I think we would have had a situation where McCain would have been up by 9 or 10 points, and Obama would have been down. If you know the economy is going, Obama is going to surf on the wave of the economy all the way into the White House, and it's unfortunate because there's so much more to this guy and so much more to this country than just the economy. And the economy is in large part something that the president doesn't have so much control over. Whereas foreign policy is something he has direct control over. He's the commander in chief. And so I would put a priority more on really foreign policy. For me, my number one issue, not the economy, it's national security, it's it's terrorism, it's that stuff, because that's the stuff that the president has the biggest influence on.
You can even
look at social issues. People will say, well, my big issue is abortion. I'm going to say, well, you're stupid if you're voting for a president simply because of abortion, because there's so many other factors into that particular legislation in terms of the Supreme Court, in terms of the Congress. Now, you can make the argument that Obama's going to elect Supreme Court leaders, and yeah, that's true, but you look at Congress, you can look at your state and local level for abortion. The presidency has the most control over foreign policy. That's my number one issue. I think that should be the number one issue for most people, but people don't see it that way. Real quick, let's just go over Iran. We know what he thinks about in Iran. We know he wants to speak with them without preconditions. He's voted against naming Iran's Revolutionary Guards as terrorists, despite the fact that the government funds Hezbollah and insurgents in Iraq. He says the military option in Iran is on the table for dealing with Iran's nuclear weapons program. In a stark contrast to earlier statements, he said he would meet with Iranian leaders, quote, if and only if it can advance the interest of the United States. He was speaking to the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee when he said that. That more or less proves that he, you know, speaks to the crowd that he's talking to in terms of he just, you know, tells them what they want to hear. He's gone back and forth on the Iran issue. First it was, oh, well, I want to speak with them without precondition. And then it was, well, only if they agree to be in our interest. And now it's, well, preconditions, that's perfect idea. He's kind of gone back and forth on that.
On that and everything else.
Yes,
that's the story of Barack Obama.
That certainly is.
I've said it before. I thought John Kerry flip-flopped. Good God!
Oh, I know.
Barack Obama taught the class.
Oh, I know. And if and you might have, I agree. This came out just this week. French President Nicolas Sarkozy. He's very critical of U.S. President candidate Barack Obama's positions on Iran, according to reports that have reached Israel's government. Sarkozy has made his criticisms only in closed forums in France, but according to a senior Israeli government source, the reports reaching Israel indicate that Sarkozy views the Democratic candidate's stance on Iran as utterly immature and comprised of formulations empty of all content.
Sarkozy is a man that you can respect. That guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's a smart cookie. If you will.
And he is a conservative, well, in terms of French conservative. You know, it's interesting. I was at the College Republicans meeting Wednesday, and we had Congressman Mike Rogers from the Michigan 8th District come and speak. And he made a very good point. It's something that I've been saying for a long time, and we've been saying for a long time on the show, is that, you know, we are about to elect a candidate who is very socialist, is a socialist tinge, leans very far to the left in a socialist manner. Yet the entire world is leaning the other way. Right. You've got Canada, who just a couple weeks ago in their elections on Tuesday, a couple weeks ago, elected the conservative leader. You've got the first conservative mayor of London ever was elected. Germany has now elected a conservative. France has elected a conservative in Sarkozy. All these countries that were once very far to the left.
Exactly. You look at all those countries, and what were they?
Yep.
They were socialist or leaning towards it.
Yeah, Australia for a long time had a more right-of-center president. I don't remember the guy's name, but he was supporter of the war in Iraq. They went to the left in their last election. He's not there anymore. But so you have all these countries who have dabbled in socialism that are moving away from it because they can't afford it, and now they're facing huge deficits, and now they need someone to fix it. And we're not learning from their mistakes. Like, why make the mistakes that people have already proved are mistakes?
Yeah.
You know?
It just goes back to that little phrase, learn from history.
That would be like watching somebody.
You don't even have to look back that far.
I have another analogy for you.
Oh, this should be good.
That would be like, let's say you have a really nice, clean, you know, door that's a window in your house, like one of those window doors. Yes. That would be like standing there, watching somebody run into it, and then step back and open it up and go out. And then yourself, instead of opening it up, going and walking right into it, and then standing back on it. It'd be exactly the same thing.
I like that.
There we go. I'm back on track.
Good.
Back on track.